Sermon text for our consideration this morning is found in Matthew chapter 5, verses 20 through 26. And please stand as we read the words of our Lord. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. Whoever murders will be liable to the judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to the judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. Here is the reading of the sermon text. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Please be seated. Fellow redeemed in Christ, I don't know whether you remember this from Hurricane Katrina. There was a reporter broadcasting from a little boat in the flood waters. As she bobbed up and down, she was telling the stories of massive amounts of water that flooded through the breached levees. It would have been a credible report, except for a local who walked between her and the camera in ankle-high water. Could it be that things are not always as they appear on television? The waters sure looked deep, but they weren't not deep. The whole scene was sensationalism, contrived to catch interest of the news watchers and make a buck. It showed the surface, but not the depth. There's nothing new about this approach. Mankind has been exaggerating for effect for a very long time. The Pharisees of Jesus' day would wear tassels to indicate their adherence to the commandments. They would fast and tithe and act morally to please God. They were masters of the words of the Old Testament. To all the world, they appeared deeply righteous. But in reality, their righteousness was shallow. The monks of Luther's days would fast and cause themselves pain and live isolated, poor lives in the effort to be deeply righteous, but their righteousness was shallow too. Today, many profess to be Christians in our land and point to their morals and values and charitable giving and caring hearts and Christian lifestyles and so on. But there is no depth to our own righteousness. Even here at our Savior, when God scratches and pricks us, we see the scarlet of our sins very quickly. We show to the world our beautiful building, but that is only the surface. Our congregation is not made up of stone and wood, but of us, the living stones. Are we ready to share our hearts and lives with Lake Havasu, Parker, Poston, Blythe, and our hometowns? We point to our great meals and events and the spirit of community that we bring. But do we sacrifice ourselves for those who can't come? Do we help the poor, visit the sick, and teach the young? Our communities are not made up of dishes and desserts, but of flesh and blood and spirit. We point to friendliness. But do we seek out the newcomers when they come, and then too when they go home? Do we speak well of others and put the best construction on everything as friends do? Or do we call one another fools at times? We point to our love for the Word of God, but do we defend it? Do we cheerfully accept every teaching in this hallowed book? Do we gladly practice close communion at the bidding of the Lord? Do we men practice responsibility, sacrifice, leadership, and the women submission for in all humility and reverence before the Lord of God? And what does the Lord see recorded in our calendars and our checkbooks? God does not abide surface righteousness. God said, "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'Do not murder,' and anyone who murders will be subject to the judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, 'Raca,' is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, 'You fool,' will be in danger of the fire of hell." The commandments of the Lord are not recipes for how we are to make ourselves appear before men. They require a righteousness that is more than skin deep. Luther, in each of his explanations to the Ten Commandments, echoed the teachings of Christ in this matter. You shall not kill. What does this mean? You should fear and love God so that we do not bodily harm our neighbor, but help and befriend him in every need. We are not to hate, and all the other commandments likewise require deep righteousness, not surface righteousness. Examine your own hearts right now, dear Christians. This is serious. We are standing before the Almighty. Let me walk between the bobbing boat and camera right now as a reminder. God sees beyond the surface. We cannot stand before him and exaggerate for effect. And as embarrassing as it is for us to think that God knows our every sin and shortcoming, there is a more pressing issue. God hates everything touched by sin, everything that is contrary to his perfect will, and everything that is contrary to him will die. This was the Lord's warning in the Garden of Eden. In the day that you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. And Jesus repeats the warning today. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Do you and I have the depth? I think not. The scriptures say that we have fallen short. Look in the perfect mirror of God's law and see. We are in a desperate need of help. Our hearts are not right with God. The water of our righteousness is a shallow illusion. But the depth of God's wrath over sin is real. We are subject to his judgment. Oh, who will save us from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, the very one pointing out sin to us today, pointing out our ruined hearts. He is the one anointed by God, chosen by him, and perfect. He is the Savior from sin and every evil, God and man in one. The one who was tempted in every way that we are, yet was without sin. Oh, the temptations were very real. He was a man like us after all. But as true God, he would never give in. Not even once. Not even in his thoughts. Not even once. No one could find fault with him, not even God. The depth of his righteousness was infinite and real, deep enough to drown our sins. And that is what he did. With all his divine power, Jesus showed God's perfect love and satisfied God's perfect justice by doing what we are unable to do. He exchanged his perfect love, perfect testimony, and goodwill for us all, goodwill for all of our thoughts, words, and deeds on the cross. And he took the scorn and the stripes and the cruel nails and the thorns and even our death. And in this one divine act, he made peace between God and mankind. For this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. This is the message that we are to bring to one another. This is the word of God. He loves you for the sake of his Son. Believe it. Trust it. He would never lie. And rejoice. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. We are reborn, no longer sons of Adam, but of God, co-heirs with Christ, who have received a full pardon and even eternal life. This puts God's law in a whole new perspective, doesn't it? If we are free and fully pardoned, then God's law is no longer a noose around our neck, but the guiding string in the maze of life. Fear is replaced in us with the desire to serve the one who has been so gracious toward us. We can think of nothing better to do with our earthly lives than to serve the one who gave himself up for all of us, that we might have eternal life. Instead of a burden that vexes, God's law is good and wise, and we delight in it. We study it joyfully, night and day. And we do our best to keep it because we love God. That is why we seek to reconcile with everyone and make a godly peace instead of inflaming dispute. That is why we excuse one another and speak well of one another and put the best construction on everything. This is important to us. Every time that we prepare to come here before this altar of the Lord, we want to make an effort to remember to reconcile with our brothers and sisters. How else could we be prepared to dine at the Holy Supper with them and receive the same forgiveness from the Lord? It's not just good business, since it settles disputes quickly. It is the will of our God. Not easy sometimes. Sometimes our righteousness is so shallow, sometimes we are like the reporter in the puddle. But remember, Christ's righteousness is yours. All our sins are drowned in the depths of his righteousness. Remember this when you succeed, but it is because of his deep righteousness. And remember this when you fail. He is your pardon and peace. And mine too. The clean slate, the new day, the new man in us. May God grant us hearts of reconciliation and place his righteousness on our lips to speak, to sing, and to share. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.